Welcome to the United Voice Oklahoma podcast, where we are practicing the art of kindness and civil discourse and authenticity in storytelling. Our goal is to foster a healthy dialogue about race relations in our community. We seek common ground for common good and hope these conversations encourage you to build authentic relationships outside of your race or comfort zone. This season of the podcast is made possible by the generous support of the Oklahoma City Black Justice Fund. Thanks for tuning in and welcome to the United Voice Oklahoma podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the United Voice Oklahoma podcast. I am your host, Waylon Cubitt. And as I told you earlier this year, after CeCe Jones Davis moved out of Oklahoma and we lost her on the podcast, we decided to do this rotating co-host chair thing. And it's going pretty good, pretty good. In fact, we had my dear friend John Middendorf joined us for a number of episodes, and today we are joined by another co-host, another friend of mine, Mackenzie Magnus. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I can't wait. We're going to dive into this. Okay, so today she is our guest, and I just want to talk to her a little bit, give a little bit of background for you guys so you'll know what that voice is that I somehow seem to be stepping over questions. I'll probably end up doing that. But give a little bit of her background, her work, some of her experiences, and then how she's been engaging with the topic of race. Mackenzie, welcome to the United Voice co-host chair.
Thank you.
Right. So
I'm so excited and honored. I was like, I'm going to try to be cool about it, but I don't feel cool about it. I feel so excited. I can't just be cool.
Well, you've been listening to the podcast for for a season or so.
Right. I'm a huge fan of CeCe's and yours and this podcast, and so it's just really cool to be here.
Yeah,
and
I gotta tell you. So I was excited about to get this first interview done, to introduce you to everybody. But also, I have to tell you, I thought about when I was in college. Mm-hmm. One of my new best friends in college, I met him at college, was a white guy named Scott Sundermeyer from Connecticut. We met at the University of Oklahoma. And we did a lot of things together. We did all kinds of things together. But I really didn't get to know him until his family moved from Connecticut to Atlanta during the semester. And so when we got a break, I traveled with him to his family's new home in Atlanta. So we rode in a car together. We took a road trip together. We rode together for 14 hours. And this guy that I've been doing things with, I've been doing this and that with, who I knew. Yeah, we were cool and all kind of stuff. But I really got to know him mm-hmm. when we took that road trip together. And so I'm only telling you that story. I'm going to tell you that
this
story. This is our road trip. Right? So I know you. We did some things together, Mackenzie. But what I'm saying is, let's get in the car and ride, because I'm really going to get to know you now that we get to dive into these different topics and different people and different guests and all that kind of stuff. So give us some background on who Mackenzie is.
Oh, big question. But I was born in Oklahoma, but mm-hmm. I grew up, I say I'm half Northern, half Southern, because I grew up in Minnesota.
I was going to say, you said that really different.
Minnesota. you got to go to Minnesota. And I went to school near Chicago. And so I spent a significant part of my life in the North. And then I moved back to Oklahoma City after I graduated college in 2012. Wasn't planning on moving back here. And so happy I did. And I've just been getting involved in my community ever since and the larger Oklahoma City area since I moved back. UConn.
UConn. Yuckin, Oklahoma.
Before the Taj Mahal was built.
Right.
The new high school.
Right. So we've done some things together, and where we mostly intersect is on this topic.
Yep.
Right? Is on race. But you're really involved in church. You're not just church goer, you're a church doer. So talk about your...
Right. So I'm on staff at Council Road.
That's a doer.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope so. I love my church. It's where I grew up. It's where my parents met, actually. Their first kiss was in the parking lot, which I have to tell you this story because it is so hilarious about our family. So my first kiss was in a church parking lot. My parents' first kiss was in a church parking lot. And we always joked that my sister's first kiss was going to be in a church parking lot. And sure enough, and he did not know that. My sister started dating someone recently. He took her to his church's parking lot for their first kiss. And he just thought it was a funny, you know, he had heard my parents' story about their first kiss and he just thought it would be really funny. And she was like, "You don't understand. We have been joking about this for years in our family that like I need, you just rounded out the set."
Uh-oh. That means something.
So I'm on staff at Council Road.
Right.
I am the Minister of Mission, so I work with our local partnerships and our global partnerships.
Those are global partnerships. Okay. So I'd like to know more about that.
We have partners all over the world. It's pretty amazing. I get to do that and have been working on staff there almost 10 years. In December, it will be 10 years in some capacity. I went full-time 5 years ago.
And they give you this freedom to go out and partner and work and identify needs in the community, which is how we obviously bump into each other. We did some work at the Oklahoma Justice Circle. Yes. I said we have done some work, but we're still doing it.
So talk to us
a little bit about how you intersect with what drew you to the subject.
Yeah. So it was pretty interesting growing up predominantly white context. My parents still are amazing and really inclusive. Really, we always had people at our house growing up. But for me, racism at that time, you know, 17, 18 years old, was very individual, very extreme. So that extreme racism that you would see every now and then of someone, I mean, Ku Klux Klan.
We all would agree.
All that. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't until college that I started getting into some classes. I started learning about disparities. I had a semester called Wheaton in Chicago. So we did a semester in the city of Chicago. We were 45 minutes outside of it. And we were learning about these disparities in these healthcare, education, incarceration. We were reading books. We were going out and touring different spaces and different nonprofits and government organizations. And we were reading this information, and then we were going out and seeing it, and we had internships, and that just completely exploded my understanding. And I remember the first time I had a class called Race, Poverty, and Reconciliation, and I came home and I just stared at a blank wall for probably an hour because everything shifted for me in that one class. Mm-hmm. And it's been me learning ever since. So that's really where I started reading books. I've always been a reader. So I was reading, Michelle Alexander. Mm-hmm. I was reading Coach Gordon. And I started reading Beverly Daniel Tatum. She's amazing for educators as well. John Perkins. I just started diving in and haven't looked back since.
But at some point you took, and I love that you said, "I've been learning ever since," not as if you have not arrived.
Of course.
at this space of complete understanding of you know, these systems that race seems to impact.
Right.
But at some point you decided, "I need to take what I'm learning and do something with it." Talk to us about, like, how do you use what you're learning and how do you use it for relationship building, or how to start? Like, help somebody that's on the road as they're awakening, as they're coming up to what racism or what an unawareness of racism, how it impacts their lives.
I mean, I think for one thing that was really significant for me was learning that not necessarily my reality is wrong. It's just that someone else has experienced a different reality. Mm-hmm. And learning about that and taking a posture of proximity and learning, and that opens your world to things that maybe other people who look like me haven't had. And I didn't have until college. I didn't have people in leadership that looked different than me. I didn't have men and women of color speaking into my life until college. And so that was something that I considered a privilege, that I have a responsibility to share this now. And that it is something that is going on in my community and the spaces that I'm working in with kids and our neighborhood and our community center that we have, and just kind of the messiness of just being in community in a church. And so, I just kind of started. I think the biggest thing for me was just keep showing up, keep showing up, keep learning. And that's kind of where relationships happened and trust started to get built.
Can you share, and I'm putting you on the spot here, I don't know, but as you're learning, it's like in anything else, like you're trying to learn, but because this is dealing with people and it's relational, can you describe a moment that you can expect people on this journey to step in and mess up that you had to learn?
There was an instance. I mean, I look back on ways that I spoke even in high school, or jokes that I made that were so ignorant, just because I didn't know anyone really that was a significant person to me. I didn't know their experience and their story. So I could talk about countless,
verbal
mistakes, not from a place of hate,
no,
place of ignorance, which I think is a lot of white people, is we just don't know. We just don't know what it's like to have.
I think it's important. I'm glad you brought that up, that it's not, those mistakes were not from a place of hate.
Right.
But now, having been in relationship and knowing people on the other end of those statements or those verbal mess ups, how they might assume that came from a place of hate.
Right. And my senior year, I did this program my first semester. And my second semester, my senior year, there was an incident in our chapel that rocked our student body, and especially my friends of color who were part of this chapel. And there were some tweets and just hateful, nasty comments. I don't think I would have known this is that I have to get on board with fighting against this and like standing up for that. This is just wrong, unless I would have had that first semester of my mind just being exploded.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. It puts you in a different place of advocacy.
Yeah.
Right. You would be, at one point, you might not even been involved at all.
Right.
At one point, you might even been a part of the problem.
Right.
But after some awareness, you became a part of the solution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
It's really, really
cool. And as a believer, I think that was always a place for me, learning kind of where is God in all of this? What is truth? You have racism in the Bible. You have Acts 10, Peter not wanting to associate with the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. That's racism. And God giving him this vision of all these animals coming down on the sheet, saying, I've made this clean. This is, you are to be in relationship with one another. This is like my plan for humanity. This is my plan. This is my vision. This is my heart. And so you see this happening a lot in scripture, that just like things just start coming alive in ways that when you start to see it, you can't go back. You can't look at it from another angle.
Yeah. That, and you just described really kind of the heart of how I see you just kind of dive into every project that we've ever been a part of, every event that we've ever been a part of, is that it's not necessarily, to me, you see a lot of people that can show up the day of the event and there's things to do, right? Everybody, there's always something to do at the day of an event. But you really find the heart of a person planning the event, trying to get the purpose of the event, trying to get the to make sure that the event has the impact on the community that we want it to have. And so we spent a lot of time mm-hmm. on that. And that's where you really, really show what you have learned, is that the focus is always about, for you, it always seems to be like, wait a minute, let's not just put on a grand show, let's make impact. And so you want to make sure that there's other people in the room getting the information that are not high level. Like, you want to introduce Northwest white affluent Oklahoma City to people that they should be in relationship with.
Right.
And that's everything you talk about is like, wait a minute, we need these people who have not been introduced to the books, who have not been introduced to relationship, who have not had their heart broken with this issue. We need them to be in this space. And you don't necessarily say, I want to break their heart. I want them to be in relationship. So situations and circumstances. So God mm-hmm. has something yeah. to do with the transformation in their heart.
Yeah. Well, I feel the same way about you. I think the first time we were in a meeting together, you said so many things that I was like, yes, exactly. that. And I pretty much immediately knew, okay, this is the kind of guy, if he's the captain of a ship, I don't even have to know where it's going. I'm on board.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for saying that. But I have no idea, but I do. I've made a decision that I want to be authentic. And I oftentimes have to come back later after those meetings and say, you know what? I didn't mean it like that. I've just really, that's how I was feeling at the moment. If you would just give me some grace to work through it, I'm trying to figure it out, because I too feel like I'm learning.
Yes.
I feel like I'm learning. And the best place to learn is in those committees and in those boardrooms when we're trying to figure out how to get things mm-hmm. done, how to amplify the voices of the other.
Yep.
So you've listened to all, I don't know how many of these episodes of the United Voice podcast. Tell me which ones jump out. Which ones do you remember? Like, hey, man, y'all need to go back and listen to this one. This one got me, and this is why I'm co-hosting.
Okay. Well, I'm co-hosting because it was literally because you're co-hosting with me. You ask
don't
me to do anything, I will say
don't
yes.
Don't put that pressure on me. Okay. Right.
I will show up to anything you invite me to. So, but I loved Henry Black. Is it Henry Blackburn?
Dr.
Blackburn.
Bob Blackburn.
Why did I say Henry yes. Blackaby? That's what I got.
Maybe it's
you know
last
the Experience
name.
In God Bible study, Henry Blackaby's. There's
I don't know that.
That's
one.
Why I got
I'll
confused.
Put it on my list. I'll put
Bob,
it on my list.
Dr. Bob Blackburn's 4-part series about the history of Oklahoma was amazing.
Ooh, that man.
He, you know, and I haven't met him in person, but you know when someone's passionate about what they're teaching and you could just listen to them talk all day? That's how I felt
yes.
listening to those podcasts. Yes. I was like.
And so we didn't really even interview him. You know, it was like, here's a date, start there, you know, and he just goes from that date and he just pulls out all of the significant events in Oklahoma around those dates. And he just kind of walks you down a path.
Yes.
It was such an education. That's probably the third or fourth time that I've been around him.
Yeah.
And every time it's just like, it is. Any other ones?
There was one that you and Cece talked about, Julius Jones.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really, really, I just, anything with you two talking is a winner.
She, as you can see, she has been phenomenal
yes.
in what you call a movement,
mm-hmm.
Creating a movement behind,
yes.
I don't care what it is, she has created a movement.
Yep.
And it's fascinating, and I learned so much about her. What people don't know about Cece and that whole issue, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Is before she says something controversial, before she puts out a tweet or Facebook post, she has called I'm guessing no less than five different people in the, that might have a different perspective than what she has just before she does that. I find that super responsible.
Yeah.
As an adult leader and as an influencer that, that she has become. So, yes, I would be surprised if you would have picked any other episode besides one where CeCe was just like bawling out. And
I can't even remember which one it was, but it was the thing about that I think is amazing about CeCe is I can't think of a time where I read about something, and this wasn't super publicized at this point, I don't think. She read about Julius Jones' case, and she was like, "This is, I've got to do something about this." And then looking at how she has spearheaded so many things, and that is just incredible. I don't remember a time where I've said, "This is really like this is something that nobody knows about. I'm going to spearhead this. I'm going to step into this space.
I'm going to take it on."
Yeah.
I'm going to take it on. Yeah. Yeah. That's
incredible.
That's one of the cool things about being. Where are you right now on the Julius Jones case?
Obviously, just came out that our governor denied the commutation hearing. That's some of the terminology I get confused on because I'm not a lawyer.
Yep. It's,
but that's the correct terminology.
I found out this whole thing that I know so little about process.
Yes.
But learning a lot more about it. And so, yeah.
So October 26th is the date that the clemency hearing is happening.
That I didn't see, but that's,
I think.
That is.
Okay.
Wow.
So obviously to me, like, how does it help anybody to kill someone who didn't do the crime? Like, he didn't. In my perspective, from what I've seen on the documentary, from what I've read, from the people I've talked to, there is really, really reasonable doubt. I'm almost certain. I'm almost certain he didn't do it. So to me, knowing that 1 in 10 death penalty cases are wrong, like, how can we go into this not knowing for sure?
Right. I can tell you, from law enforcement and from the criminal justice side of things, having spent a 25-year career on that side of an issue, but really, really wanting to see justice on all issues, this one has put a light on it that I am no longer lukewarm about the death penalty. I am completely out on it.
Yep,
I am completely out on the death penalty, and it is this case that has brought that awareness to me that says we shouldn't be doing it. The other thing that, and I know this is not what this episode is about. I just wanted to get you know, but this does kind of share who you are, right?
It's true.
So the other thing is the governor said he's not going to take the Pardon and Parole Board's recommendation of commutation.
Commutation. Bunch of lawyers in here.
Yeah, so we're messing that up. So, but then I go, why did they have the hearing? Why did he even allow the hearing? Couldn't he have stopped the hearing? Like, I don't care what you're going to do. I'm not doing it because the proper thing is clemency.
Right.
If he thought the proper thing was clemency, then let's just do that.
Right.
Why do we waste the time? Why do we get all the emotion? Why do we allow all of that energy to be drummed up?
Right.
When it was not going to be considered in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the frustrating thing.
It is so frustrating. And I really can't imagine how he's feeling, how his family's feeling, to be in this position where there is so little control. And it's the process, the system.
The process is what?
Of justice.
That is so frustrating.
And that's where it's like, what if we're wrong? That is the question that people aren't asking. What if we're wrong? What if we were wrong 20 years ago?
We know that the criminal justice system is so broken that there's a possibility that we're wrong in all cases.
Yep.
There's the few, right? We know the people. The guy walked in, he shot 15 people. We know that. But we also can walk the criminal justice system back in that person's family.
Yep.
We can walk the other systems back in this country, the other ones that we mentioned. We can walk brokenness back in everybody's life, right, that ends up in these situations. And I don't think that the solution is the death penalty.
Yep.
Even in those extreme cases. Now, I'm there now.
Yep. Like, yep, me too.
2 weeks ago, I was not there.
Brian Stevenson helped me get there.
I'm new to this, so help me. I mean, I'm still an episode from now. Next episode, I may be different, or evolved a little bit better, or maybe better to explain myself a little bit better. But I'm excited that more people are aware.
Me too.
I'm curious as to what people that can watch the process that we watched, and to watch the whole hearing. The pardon parole hearing, if they walked away in support of the death penalty, I would love to have them on the podcast to explain to me how they got there.
Yeah.
That would be very, very interesting.
Right.
It would also be very, very interesting for them to respond to the question is, if the death penalty is useful, why is heinous crime not being reduced? Right. It's not reducing.
Right.
Crime in any way, then what's the benefit besides vengeance?
Yeah.
Vengeance.
Yeah.
Now we're in the business of vengeance. Okay, so I need to, so you can work on me for all the episodes you're going to be here. And
what were some of your favorite podcasts so far?
Oh, my favorite so far, I really have to go back very, very early on. I really enjoy talking to Justin King and his wife, Jamie. That was like episode 3 or 4, very, very early on. And it's really hard to pick. We've had some with Lee Rowland is always a great conversation. He's been on twice now. And gosh, I don't know. I have to look back at the list, but those are some that stand out. Gene Rainbolt was good. And interesting. We've had some.
You've had a lot to choose from.
We've had a lot to choose from, and I feel so blessed that nobody has said no, and so many people willing to engage in the conversation of a United Voice in Oklahoma, and all the news stations are running these great stories, and we have some really good ones
coming up.
Coming up, we have Kim Bandy and
Song Rem.
Yep, from the Sparrow Project.
And she just became our children's intern at Council Road. So Song.
Okay.
So she's incredible. She is the kind of woman, you look at her and you just trust her. You want her around your kids. She's so warm. She's so loving.
And where she's from originally?
She is from Burma originally. Moved here when she was 16.
Oh, wow.
Her story is incredible.
Can't wait.
I'm blown away every time I hear it.
I can't wait to share that story.
And she's just amazing. So that's going to be really fun.
And then after that, we have Serena Perry.
Yes.
Who is a gold star
in our community. She is so cool.
Yeah.
The urban plastics.
Got it. Great story. So you guys definitely want to tune in for more of Mackenzie and Waylon Cubitt. On the
dream
United
team.
Voice, this is going to be the dream team. This is going to be it. And hopefully she'll want to do more and more and more episodes. And maybe she can even do it without me. You know, that
you're trying to retire on us.
I don't know.
Keep trying to do.
Thanks, guys, girls, ladies, gentlemen, everybody for listening. And welcome Mackenzie Warren. When you see her out and about and you see her post, just tag her, hashtag United Voice Oklahoma, and make her feel very, very welcome. And that's all we have for today. Mackenzie, welcome to the podcast, and we cannot wait to hear more from you in the upcoming weeks. And as always, seeking common ground for common good, I'm Waylon Cubitt.
And I'm Mackenzie Magnus.
And this is the United Voice Oklahoma podcast. See you next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the United Voice Oklahoma podcast. For more episodes, subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review. Please share the show with your friends and family. It really helps us to get the conversation out to more people. This podcast is a production of United Voice Oklahoma, one of the initiatives of the Stronger Together movement. and is produced by OKC Good. This current season is made possible by the generous support of the Oklahoma City Black Justice Fund.